Good morning, everybody. Awesome to see you today. Well, we're starting our new series, Trolls, and I just want to ask you as we get started here, you know, what comes to mind for you when you think of a troll? You know, maybe it's the mythical creature from Scandinavian folklore. Have you seen this picture here? Maybe that's what comes to mind. Maybe it's some kind of bent over monster, like a beast under the bridge. Have you seen one of those? A lot of you have said, man, the troll's got to be under the bridge, you know, to kind of snatch you, drag you down into the abyss. Or maybe you guys, some of you just love movies, and so you think of these fuzzy guys. The troll movie. How many have seen the troll movie? Okay, lots of you have seen that. But you know, there's a new type of troll out there today. It's an internet troll, and they're basically scouring the internet, searching the internet, stalking people, looking for victims. They're people that are trying to hurt others with their online interactions. Wikipedia has a definition of a troll, and it defines it this way: someone who posts inflammatory, extraneous, or off-topic messages in an online community, such as a forum, a chat room, a blog, with the primary intent of provoking readers into an emotional response or otherwise disrupting normal on-topic discussions. Here we see that people get behind a computer screen and sometimes they morph into something that's very different than you might suspect. And they can quickly become someone who's very provocative, who even kind of resorts to bullying others, who's kind of pushing people around. Their goal really is disruption, to disrupt people's lives, to disrupt communities as well, to sow seeds of discord, to create bad feelings along the way. They want to make people angry. They want to get under other people's skin. They want to basically get on top of you with obnoxious comments. Sometimes they go way, way further than just being obnoxious, though. Sometimes these comments can be just outright flat out cruel. Ed Sheeran, a singer-songwriter, recently, a while back, quit Twitter because of all the internet trolls out there. And he's like, I'm just quitting. I'm done with it. People were attacking him for all kinds of different things. Angry, vicious people throwing shade, throwing hate at him for no apparent reason at all. We heard of Robin Williams, the actor, the comedian, passing away tragically, and turns out that his daughter Zelda also had to quit Twitter because she was getting all kinds of hateful comments. People were actually threatening her. There were a lot of misogynistic things that she, as a woman, was taking on hate for no other reason that she was a woman. It was just like brutal stuff. And so we kind of look at all that and we see, you know, why would somebody go after someone who's grieving and hurting? Just because they want to. They want to hurt them. We see that all over the place. And it's not just celebrities. It's not just, you know, people that are famous that have to deal with these things. It really is happening across a broad swath of people on the internet. A recent Pew study found out that 70% of those age 18 through 24 years of age have at some point had to deal with online harassment. 26% of women in that same age group have at one time or another been stalked online. When you extend the age groups beyond just that kind of millennial group, you find out 4 out of 10 people who use the internet, regardless of age, they have also experienced at one time or another harassment on the internet. In fact, things have become so rampant that a lot of sites and businesses who have public sites have actually not activated their comment sections because they don't want comments. They know where it's going to go. If you know that as a church, we have a YouTube page and we didn't activate our YouTube comment section because I don't need to hear over and over again how stupid I am and that I'm a loser and that I'm ugly and that the church, LifePoint Church, is this blankety blank thing and the church is this. You know, I put my dues in. I went through 8th grade. I'm through it. I'm done with it. I don't need it anymore. But there's just people out there that just want to provoke. They want to cause trouble. They hide behind their computer screens to try to mix things up. Now, in our series, we're going to be talking to a large degree about our online life, social media interactions that we have with other people. But this series will go beyond that. We're going to talk about our offline relationships as well, because they parallel. There's connections between the two. That at some point or another, you and I are going to deal with negative people. At some point, we're going to have to deal with situations. It could be in our workplace, it could be in our home, it could be in our neighborhood. So there's broad parallels and connections, in this series. And we need to talk about these things because whether we know it or not, it is increasingly impacting the environments that we live in and operate in, and it impacts our lives. These things that are said are just increasingly creating a chaotic, destructive, and dysfunctional world around us. And I think it's important for us to see that, yes, the internet has no doubt ramped up this kind of trolling. It's like put trolling on steroids. But trolling is not new. As we go back in history, even 2,000 years ago, we see people being trolled in the Bible. We see that even Jesus himself had to deal with trolls in his own life. We recently just celebrated Holy Week, and it was basically commemorating the high points of Jesus' last week on earth. And so there was the entrance into Jerusalem. And so we've got Jesus being praised. And then a few days later, we've got Good Friday, Jesus being crucified. And then we have the resurrection as well. But as the week proceeds, we see that things became much, much more difficult for him. That Jesus had to face all kinds of hate. He got trolled really hard by religious leaders, by the crowd. He got trolled by just the soldiers who looked at him and mocked him and scoffed at him. We see this happening in the book of Matthew. And I want to look first at the Garden of Gethsemane, where this starts to build momentum, this avalanche of hate that Jesus had to deal with. Matthew 26 begins it. It says, while he was speaking, he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, just hours from dying on the cross. While he was speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived, and with him was a large crowd armed with swords and clubs, sent from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them, "The one I kiss is the man, arrest him." Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. Here we have a description of a baying crowd. And they're ready to fight. They're ready to mix it up. They're ready, to let the fists fly, the clubs fly. They are basically ready to kill and to do some serious damage. Now, Jesus has done nothing to warrant this. He's never done anything. He's not taking the club or the sword. There's no battle that they, might expect Jesus to wage against them, but these people are ready for a battle, and they're going to hurt him in any way they can. The story continues. At that time, Jesus said to the crowd, "Am I leading a rebellion that you've come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I sat in the temple courts teaching, and you didn't arrest me. But this has taken place that the writings of the prophets might be fulfilled." Then all the disciples deserted him, and they fled. So Jesus here is not just under attack here, but now he's being abandoned by people that he had trusted. He's not only dealing with the emotional turmoil of all the stuff that's being thrown at him, but now his emotional support system is gone. It's like he had the rug like yanked out from under him. He's like losing his balance in the midst of this turmoil. At the very worst time, he's betrayed and abandoned and utterly alone. And it's at that moment that the trolls, they come out of the woodwork. In verse 59, it says the chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for false evidence against Jesus so they could put him to death. But they didn't find any, though many false witnesses came forward. Here the attack involved false accusations, false attacks on Jesus that were made up stories, things said about him that were patently untrue. Here Jesus is dealing with lies. He's dealing with smears and distortions. And the crazy thing about it is that there's a crowd of people that are buying into it. They're saying things about Jesus that are completely false, that are not true. They don't indicate any reality. But the crowd is buying into it, and they kind of build this avalanche of rejection and hate and darkness and insults. The attack then crosses a line. It crosses over from emotional stuff to the physical realm of bullying. Matthew 26, then the high priest tore his clothes and said, "He spoke in blasphemy. Why do we need any more witnesses? Look, now you've heard the blasphemy. What do you think?" "He is worthy of death," they answered. Then they spit in his face and they struck him with their fists. Others slapped him and said, "Prophesy to us, Christ. Who hit you?" Jesus' harassment doesn't even end when he goes to the cross. It continues that two robbers were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. And those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads, saying, You who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross if you really are the Son of God. Here Jesus deals with mockery and scoffing in just a horrendous, brutal fashion. And so I want to ask you today, have you ever experienced something like this yourself? Not so much being arrested or placed on a cross, but the other things. Have you ever been accused falsely of things? Have you ever been bullied, harassed? Has your name ever been smeared? Have you ever been abandoned or betrayed by others, mocked or scoffed at? Have you ever had a friend that you counted on become a foe? Or somebody who was a helper became a hater? Somebody that was trusted became a troll? Has that ever happened to you? Because if it has, you're not alone. It's exactly what Jesus faced himself. And I think it says to us that we can expect to deal with trolls. No matter who we are, we're not perfect. We're not the Son of God. Jesus was not deserving of any trolling or injustice, and yet he faced it. And if he did, how much more will you and I? We can expect in this life to deal with trolls. That someone somewhere at some time is going to see something that you say, and they're going to jump on it, and they're going to attack you for that. Some people are going to do that because they're envious or they're jealous of you. Some people are going to do it just because it gives them a thrill to hurt you. Some people just want a harsh reaction from you, because if you react emotionally and trade anger for anger, they got you. They win because it gives them power, because they've manipulated your emotions. That's exactly what they want to do. Their goal is to manipulate your emotions and bring you to a dark place with them. And so ultimately, we need to recognize it's going to happen, but we don't need to be blindsided by it. We don't need to be blindsided by it, because there's something we can do. We can anticipate troll tactics. You and I can anticipate troll tactics. So what I want to do today is give you the top 10 troll tactics. Okay, let's say that three times real fast. Top 10 troll tactics. We can't do that. That's awkward and weird. But I want to give you some troll tactics that you have probably seen, maybe in your life, but certainly in your online interactions. And the first is this: the insult troll. The insult troll. This is the person who throws shade and hate at you, no matter what it is. It doesn't matter what the issue is. And they're probing for some emotional content that they can exploit. They're looking for something that they can do to you, some damage to make you angry, to provoke you, and if they can get you to respond harshly, that is their hope, then it can lead to some very serious cyber bullying. It's the insult troll. Then secondly, there's the persistent debate troll. Do you know somebody like that? They want to constantly debate about stuff. And so they're going to research things and come up with information, and they're going to absolutely denigrate your position because they, you know, it's not never really balanced. They're just going to research it to death. The biggest thing about this troll is they always have to have the last word. So they're always in for the last word. It's the persistent debate troll. Lots of comments, and they just go on and on with it. Then there's the grammar and spell check troll. Do you know that person? You're like, you're writing something that's you think is meaningful and well thought out, and they're like, you spelled the word there wrong. It's like, okay, and they're like the police, the grammar police. It's spelling and syntax and grammar, and they use that as an opportunity to attack you, not your argument, but just that you personally are just so stupid because you spelled the word there wrong. Whatever. So we got a lot of people who go that route. There's the always offended troll. Do you know somebody like that? They're upset about something all the time. There's something out there that always, always makes them angry. In fact, they are perpetually angry about something. They are the constant victim, always the victim. In fact, they turn humor and innocent comments into something dark. Sinister, everything, innocent comments. Oh, there's got to be something deeply embedded in that. It must be some ism. There's some ism going on. There's something sinister and really, really dark and hurtful embedded in that humor, even the most innocent things. They're just always offended by something. Then there's the keep on talking troll. This is the person that just cannot resist giving lengthy statements in every comment thing you can imagine. I have another name for this troll. Don't write this one down, but here's the other name for this troll. It's to say something that's really long online because they love to share their opinion in great detail about a lot of things and love to hear themselves talk about stuff, even though it's really long-winded and they keep going on and on and on. Troll. So yeah, maybe you've seen one of them. But then there's the cursing all caps troll. This is the person that basically you throw something out there and they're like, you know, they're just going to bombard you with expletives. They're just going to curse you out. They're basically going to spew F-bombs repeatedly. F-bomb, F-bomb, just bombard you with this kind of stuff. And basically, it's just not even related. It's not even helpful. There's nothing about it in terms of offering something. And if that doesn't work, they lock down the caps button. Do you know anybody that just, man, seriously locks down the caps button? If you look at their keyboard, the caps button is kind of stuck down a little bit because they're constantly like banging on that thing because they want you to know that they are really furious, like all the time, angry all the time. Then there's the ambiguous one word, one emoji troll. Now, this is the person that basically just gives you one word and you have no idea what it means. So in other words, you give this statement or say something and they say, K. And you're like, what? Like, K. They say, you know, LOL. Oh, K. Yes, no. And you're like, I'm not sure. Could you expand? K. And then emojis get in the mix, and like you got the throwing up emoji. Blah! That's all you get. I never done that in church. Blah! The throwing up emoji, and that's all it is. What do you mean? They're not telling. It's supposed to be ambiguous. There's also the going to extremes exaggeration troll. This is a combination of the always offended and the know everything debate troll. And these are people that we see a lot today who are always going to extremes. So in other words, they're going to say something like, every single person from this political affiliation is this. Every single one of them. And every single person from this political affiliation, oh, they're that. And every single person who's religious, they are that. And every single person that's from New Jersey, they are that. And I personally take that hard, okay, because I'm from New Jersey, all right? So there's always these kind of extremes. They love labels. They're searching for extreme examples in the enemy camp to use as an example of what they don't believe. They use extreme memes. They take the worst of the other side and try to make that the standard. Everything to these trolls is black and white. They are the good guys, and everyone else who disagrees, they are the bad guys. I'm the good, you are the evil, sinister ones. And so here we have, there's no discussion necessary. It's resolved, it's a done deal. Here we have no balance. There's no nuancing. There's no good people agreeing to disagree. We don't need to talk about it anymore. These are people who are very polarizing. They're polarizing because they basically see themselves as the holders of truth. And so they get likes from the like-minded. They preach to the choir online. They get some likes from the same people, the like-minded, while the visitor to their church, they're, you know, with their agenda, you know, they're not so thrilled. Because basically they don't offer anything new. They don't come to it with a way to resolve the situation. There's no way to address new things. Basically, they don't advance the discussion at all. So that's a big troll that we see a lot in our world today. Then there's the topic hijacker troll. This is the person who just like, you're talking about something important and they just throw something irrelevant off topic into it. They're just trying to get your attention. They're just trying to throw you off a little bit. And last of all, there's the make some money off you troll. The make some money off you troll. They're everywhere. So in other words, you kind of come into this and you're talking about cats. Aren't cats really cool? They're not cool, but just pretend they are. Okay, so we're talking about cats and all this kind of stuff. And then all of a sudden, somebody puts a comment in, 4.7% financing. You're like, what? We're talking about cats. Follow me on, get this really cool coupon. And you're like, wait a minute, I don't see how that relates at all. Get the free ebook. They're just distracting off the conversation. That basically it's spammers. A lot of them are greedy. They just want to make money off of us. So let me ask you today, how many of you have come across one or more of these trolls online? Just raise your hand. The rest of you are living in a cave. Okay, so you've seen them. Now don't raise your hand. Do not raise your hand here. How many of you have been flirting with the boundaries of being one of these yourself? How many of you have run headlong into being one of these yourself? We're going to be talking about that in the coming weeks as well. I think it's important for us to look at all of these things because knowing troll tactics helps us avoid becoming one, but also helps us manage trolls that inevitably come into our lives. And ultimately, we should talk about it because God wants something different from us as Christ followers. God wants us to live differently. He wants us to offer an alternative to this negative and dark trolling culture. I think we should see ourselves differently in our online interactions. See your online life as an opportunity to express the life-giving, soul-lifting love of Christ. See your online life radically different than everyone else around us to bring hope and the love of Christ. You know, we're going to be looking in the coming weeks at specific strategies on how we deal with trolls, very practical suggestions on how we do it. But there's a foundational truth that we need to build every strategy on. And that's what we're talking about today. There's something foundational to our faith that we have to get right first. It's this, that God has called us to live a purposeful life. God has called us to live a missional life. God has called you and me as followers of Jesus not to just kind of throw ourselves headlong into the culture and be like everybody else, but to offer a refreshing alternative to the darkness. And that is you and me stepping into the brokenness and helping people find healing, helping people find wholeness, helping people find the hope that Jesus alone offers. That you and I actually are here on purpose with a mission to bring the good news of Christ's love, his transforming power to the world around us. We're to help others move out of their brokenness and their pain. And our social media interactions are a chance to do just that, to bring people to faith, to help people find wholeness and a new, better, transformed life. And this means that life has purpose in our words. And our attitudes and our actions matter too in pursuit of that purpose. That's exactly what Peter tells us. He describes Christ's followers in this way. He says, you are a chosen people. You're a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You're God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. Once you had no identity as a people, but now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, but now you have received mercy. Peter describes our position as followers of Jesus, that we are a chosen people. In other words, we are created by God, but to enter his family, God chooses us. God draws us. God is basically saying here, I saw you and you and you, and I said, I want you to be part of my family. He's chosen us. He's adopted us into his family. He wants us to be connected with him relationally in this life and forever and ever when this life is over. And so we've got this sense that we're chosen, we're a royal priesthood, we're a holy nation, and we're here as God's people for a very particular reason, that the goodness, to show others the goodness of God. Other versions say that God has called us to be a royal priesthood, a holy nation, we're a chosen people. For what purpose? That we may declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. The Greek word for declaring and expressing the goodness is that you and I are here to declare the excellencies, the virtues, the eminent qualities of our good, gracious, loving, powerful, amazing God. This is our purpose. That's why we're here on this planet. Because we have a mission to accomplish. And this has big time implications for how we respond to our trolls. Peter continues, dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners, keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls. Be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Then even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior. And they will give honor to God when he judges the world. Here the word keep away, to abstain, is powerful. It's important that we're to keep away from certain things. We're to keep away from worldly desires. Here it speaks of to hold oneself constantly back from something. To abstain from these worldly desires. We're to hold ourselves back from, constantly holding ourselves back from these worldly desires, back from the darkness that wants to envelop us, back from going after people the way they go after us. There's something distinctive about us that we're to abstain in a very particular way. And there's two reasons we need to step away from the darkness and show this kind of self-discipline. The reason is this, that when you exchange hate for hate and anger for anger, you only ruin your life. You make your life much, much worse. You diminish yourself by dropping to that level. when we fail to show restraint, damaging words and retaliation and anger and hatred come out of us. We're all capable of it. We've all failed that test. But in the end, we pay a price for the lack of self-discipline. It ruins us. Peter says here, that these things actually wage a war against our very soul. These things are soul killers. In other words, it kills our joy. It steals our peace. Our spirit is just depressed. And we find ourselves getting sucked into this downward vortex of negativity. I mean, if you listen carefully, you can hear this enormous sucking sound. Do you? Well, that's me, but there's an enormous, huge sucking sound going on in our culture. It's the downward spiral of a culture and a world into absolute negativity. And it's all around us. And it wants to suck you and me down into it too. And here's the thing, when we lack the discipline, when we don't hold ourselves constantly back from going after other people and being just like the darkness around us, it wages a war against us that ultimately we lose. But there's a second thing that happens when we use troll tactics against trolls. There's a second thing that happens. We allow someone else to take us off message. We allow somebody else to derail our mission. Now, I don't know how many of you have played sports over the years. You know, how many of you are athletes? And, you know, if you've played football, you've played baseball, you've played basketball, you probably are familiar with trash talking, okay? And I've played all kinds of different sports, lots of trash talk. And there's other players that kind of want to get in your head and, you know, they're trashing you. And in fact, it even gets to the point where entire teams trash talk other teams. It happened recently in the NCAA tournament where one team trash talked another team. And you know what that team did? They took all that material, they put it on a bulletin board to remind them every day of this team and what they've said. And why does somebody trash talk, whether you're an athlete or whatever? Why do they do it? They do it because they want to get you off your game. That's what they want to do. They want to get you off your game. They want to get in your head in such a degree that all of a sudden, maybe you forget a play. Well, you miss a detail. You kind of look at this and say, I'm going to get you back. I'm going to get physical with you and kind of bully you in this game here. And what can happen is that very quickly, an athlete can forget his or her purpose. Their purpose is to win the game. As Christ followers, we too are going to face trash talk in our lives. And we can't let trash talk get us off our game. We can't let what other people say or the trolls around us to get us off message, where we start throwing things back at them and forget that we have a bigger purpose, our greater purpose, that's greater than our political agenda or our personal agenda. Those are small compared to the larger purpose that God has given us as followers of Jesus, to introduce everyone we can to an awesome, great, loving, gracious God who can make our lives way better and who gives us the assurance of a future when this life is over. We have a bigger purpose than anything else in this world. We have a mission that's huge, and we can't let anyone or anything get us off message. Jesus was a perfect example of that. You know, Jesus was in his last hours being trolled really, really hard. He was dealing with serious trash talking. You know, it's the crowd laughing, it's the religious leaders hating, it's the soldiers mocking and scoffing, and Jesus is on the cross and he's hearing all this, and he could have said, you know what, you're talking to me? Seriously, soldier, like, dude, I created, are you talking to me? He could have like popped himself seriously off the cross, come down and say, listen, little man, do you got something to say? You want to talk to me now, would you? My hands are healed. I'm all good to go. I got a legion of angels kind of backing me up. They threw their harps away. They're ready to go at it. So little man, are we ready to go? Let's throw down. Jesus could have done that, but he doesn't do that because he had a mission that was far bigger than defending himself or fighting these people. He actually loved them too. And he stayed on that cross because his message was to live and die, to take the sins of the world upon himself, to rise again from the dead and give every single broken person hope and a new start, a do-over, healing, and forgiveness. Jesus never went off message. And he's a great example of how we also, no matter what we hear around us, need to grasp that bigger purpose and stay focused ourselves. And so today, there's a lot of different ways you can handle provocations. You're going to get provoked. Just get ready. It's happened. It's going to happen again. And there's a lot of different ways to handle provocations. You can handle them with fear. You can handle them with anger or pride. You're not doing that to me. I'll show you. You can handle that with insecurity. All they probe something personal here. Wow, I'm insecure. We react. We react to that. But when we realize, when we really understand how much we're loved, when we really understand that God has chosen us, he's chosen you and me to enter into a life-transforming relationship, an eternal relationship with God that goes on forever. When we realize how valuable we are to him, when we understand that we have a mission in this world that transcends any personal agendas, when we understand God has called us to counter the troll culture, when we understand all those things, not only does it help us avoid going down dark alleys in responding to those trolls, being just like them, wallowing in the darkness with them, not only does it help us, but maybe, just maybe, someone somewhere is going to see your Christ-like response to that troll. And maybe, just maybe, somebody somewhere is going to want Jesus in their life someday too. Let's pray. Father, lift our eyes, Lord, to see the higher purpose to which you've called us. That we're here on this earth for the briefest of times to declare your excellency, your goodness, your grace, your power, how you change us, you forgive us. The good you pour into every aspect of our lives. Lord, help us to counter the troll culture by being those who sow seeds, the life-giving seeds of faith, to have a larger purpose and mission than anything else. Nothing will be more important than living for you and representing you well. And Lord, we just ask you to give us the power to do that. You've shown us the example. Your son is the perfect example. We thank you, Lord, for that. And you've also given us the power by your Holy Spirit to walk that road. Speak to us, make us like you. Use us to be a refreshing alternative in a negative, dark troll culture. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.